자유라타마타바 자유공 자비하리 자유라타마타바 자유군자비하리 높이사노발라바 자유기리바라다리 자유기리바라다리 야쇼다난다나 자유브라자자나란자나 야쇼다난다나 자유 브라자 자나란자나 자유 브라자 자나란자나 야무나 뛰어가는 자리 자유군자비하리 자유 야무나 뛰어가는 자리 자유군자비하리 자유라다마다바 자유군자비하리 높이잖아 발라봐 자유 길이 바라다리 자유 길이 바라다리 야쇼다난다나 자유브라자자나란다나 자유브라자자나란다나 야무나 뛰어가는 자리 자유군자비하리 자유 야무나 뛰어가는 자리 나의 봉사비 하루 자요라다마다바 자요 봉사비하리 하레 크리스나 하레 크리스나 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 하레 하레 Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Om Vishnu Pat Paramahansa Parivraja Gacharya Totara Shata Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya Om Vishnu Pat Paramahansa Parivraja Gacharya Totara Shata Shishmad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Nanta Koti Vaishnava Brimda Ki नमः आचार्य श्रील हरि ठाकुर की प्रिंस कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वसादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरी गोवर्धन की श्री वृंदावन धाम की श्री मयपुर धाम की श्री जगन्नाथपुरी पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र धाम की गंगा माय की यमुना माय की भक्ति देवी की श्रीमाती तुलसी देवी महारानी की हरि नाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ की ट्रांसेंडेंटल मंथ ऑफ कार्तिक की कार्तिक व्रत की ऑल समवेत भक्त वृंद की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Narayanam namaskritim, narancaiva narottamam, devim sarasvatim vyasam, Tato Jayanudiraye Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, The Descent of the River Ganges, Text 12. So I will read directly, like the speaker has been doing the translation directly, because it's a long Sanskrit prose. In these 8 varshas, or tracts of land, human beings live 10,000 years according to earthly calculations. All the inhabitants are almost like demigods. They have the bodily strength of 10,000 elephants. Indeed, their bodies are as sturdy as thunderbolts. The youthful duration of their lives is very pleasing, and both men and women enjoy sexual union with great pleasure for a long time. After years of sensual pleasure, when a balance of 1 year of life remains, the wife conceives a child. Thus, the standard of pleasure for the residents of these heavenly regions is exactly like that of the human beings who lived during Treta Yuga. Purport by His Divine Grace, H.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are 4 yugas: Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, in Kali Yuga. During the first Yuga, Satya Yuga, people were very pious. Everyone practiced the mystic yoga system for a spiritual understanding and realization of God. Because everyone was always absorbed in samadhi, no one was interested in material sense enjoyment. During Treta Yuga, people enjoy sense pleasure without tribulations. Material miseries began in Dwapara Yuga, but they were not very stringent. Stringent material miseries really began from the advent of Kali Yuga. Another point in this verse is that in all 8 of these heavenly varshas, although men and women enjoy sex pleasure, there is no pregnancy. Pregnancy takes place only in lower grade life, For example, animals like dogs and hogs become pregnant twice a year, and each time they beget at least half a dozen offspring. Even lower species of life, such as snakes, give birth to hundreds of young at one time. These birds inform us that in grades of life higher than ours, pregnancy occurs once in a lifetime. People still have sex life, but there is no pregnancy. In the spiritual world, people are not very attracted to sex life due to their exalted devotional attitude. Practically speaking, there is no sex life in the spiritual world. But even if sometime it does occur, there is no pregnancy at all. On the planet Earth, however, human beings do become pregnant, although the tendency is to avoid having children. In this sinful age of Kali, people have even taken to the process of killing the child in the womb. This is the most degraded practice. It can only perpetuate the miserable material condition of those who perform it. Om Ajnanat Mirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Guru Dinataranam Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it is said that in Satya Yuga, everything was meant for the enjoyment of Krishna. People will be engaged in meditation and they will offer everything to God. But later on, people will, in the next age, Tetra Yuga, they will make a circle. And they will through, it is symbolic. I heard that from a temple president from Chaupati. He was telling this story. So in Treta Yuga, they will make a circle and they will throw away all, they will throw up everything, for example, money, and whatever falls in the circle will be for Krishna, for God. And whatever is outside the circle will be for them. So next they will make a circle and a line in between, in the half, and they will throw the money, and then whatever comes in one side will be for, in the right side will be for Krishna, and in the other side will be for them. And finally in Kali Yuga, they will throw the money and they will say, whatever God can catch, can take, will be for him, and whatever falls down will be for me. So the principle is that through Satya Yuga till Kali Yuga, there are four ages, in each age the piety of human beings and all living beings is decreasing. So Krishna is taking first a prominent role in society, but as the ages go on, Krishna is becoming more second priority. And in Kali Yuga, he is not even people doubt about his existence, the existence of God. As a result, there is suffering. Because in Treta Yuga, there is a little bit of unlawful behavior. Also, there is a little bit of suffering. But Dwapara Yuga, there is more, it's a 50 and 50 of sinful activities. Then suffering increases. And in Kali Yuga, is the words that Krishna described to Kalayan as Ashwatthama. He described the material world as full of miseries and temporal. That become very easy to realize. Because we just have to see the newspaper, and there are plenty of news about suffering in this world. And the suffering is the price of the struggles, is the price for enjoyment, especially in Kali Yuga. So the more you try to enjoy your senses, there is a price. And the more degradation, is the price is higher. And from all type of enjoyments, it is explained that sex life is the most higher according to materialistic view. And we see in these verses explained that in higher species of life, in higher realms, higher dimensions, the prices when people have sex life, they don't become pregnant so soon. In this verse, it's described that in these 8 varshas, human beings, they have a long life because they are in heavenly realms. So although Kali Yuga affects the whole universe, but the higher realms is not the same than in Earth. Like, for example, it's not the same to be right now in, for example, in Hawaii with a better weather than in Chicago, trying to, if you want to enjoy the weather. So in the same way, sex life is more enjoyable in the heavenly planets because they don't have to take the responsibility of raising children, which is lovable, but most people try to avoid that responsibility and they just want to enjoy. And because of enjoyment, they make, in order to have a enjoyment, they may decide to raise a family. But Prabhupada points out that in Kali Yuga, this is even not the case. People doesn't want to take responsibility for their enjoyment. So a man and a lady, they want to enjoy each other from each other's body, but they don't want the consequence that will be a child. As in lower species of life, when they become pregnant, for example, Prabhupada gives the example of a snake, they have unlimited, many babies. But they take care. They because they are forced by karma. But because human beings, they have a free will, they can make their own decision also. So a lady may decide to kill her child in the womb in order to avoid all the suffering according to her perspective that will come by going to work and raise the children, and or maybe she may think I can offer my child a good education, or maybe I didn't like the husband and I don't want him to be the father of my child. For many reasons, she will decide to kill the child, and that's an unfortunate characteristic of Kali Yuga. It's a fault of this whole society because of lack of training in God consciousness. In the 12th canto, it describes all the signs of and qualities of Kali Yuga. And it is explained that marriage will be arranged simply by verbal agreement. And a person will think that he is clean just by taking one bath. But this arrangement between man and woman is the standard of marriage in Kali Yuga. And we see that is increasing all over the world because of many reasons. People don't want to, then they get married and then they get divorced. So they say, what is the point? So better than we stay together as soon as we like each other and then we can change. So also there is no responsibility, because if the whole purpose of marriage is that you take responsibility. Every ashram have different responsibilities. Brahmacharya ashram, Grihastha ashram, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, they have is an acceptance of responsibilities. The decision for staying in one ashram is not about in which way I will enjoy more. It's in which ashram I will be more sheltered and I will be able to serve Krishna in a better way according to my psychological disposition and physical. So that principle of responsibility in Kali Yuga is avoided by the principle of enjoyment. So the whole purpose of life in a Kali Yuga society is to give pleasure to the senses through different medias. Every invent, it is called when you create something, it's an artifact, invention. Every invention is somehow or other meant to bring some enjoyment. Every propaganda that is made by TV or radio, etc., is promising enjoyment, the purpose of life, to enjoy your senses. And they don't give you the list of responsibilities, usually. They will make you easy. The way human beings in Kali Yuga think is that I want the easy way. So therefore, for example, now we have phones, and they will give you the easiest plan, and because you will be attracted. And they will tell you all the things that may happen in the future. So you have a plan of 12 months, paying every month, you pay $30, so it seems very nice. But they don't tell you, like, you have to take this responsibility, you may have problems, then you may not be able to pay. No, they don't say anything. They say just, this is the best option, take it. And then if you have some problems, they will chastise you. They will demand you in court, make a trial, etc. So on the material level, we have to pay a price anyway, but that price is like somehow it psychologically is covered. But in a spiritual life, we understand that even every aspect of life has a price. every breath, any time we breathe, we have to pay for that. We have a specific quantity of breath. You understand what it's, when I'm saying breath? I'm saying correct? Okay. So if you run out of breath, then you die. So that's a price also. Okay. You have to use them. Therefore, the existing process of pranayama, the yogis used to control their air. And we control our air in our breath. Air in Krishna consciousness, not through pranayama, but utilizing the air to vibrate Krishna conscious sounds, or to speak about Krishna, about service. That's the way we control that. So there are many responsibilities or prices behind any type of enjoyment. But one of the most amazing ways that people find to enjoy is to join each other through sexual life. So therefore, scriptures, they know that psychology, because that is the love of God that has been lost, and then we are trying to love someone else. So in this material world, everyone is looking for love, for enjoyment, and we look in different ways. So scriptures will help us to go back to Godhead, and one way scripture have to help us is regulating our propensities for enjoyment. They don't say don't enjoy, because that's not possible to stop the conditioned soul from enjoyment, but it's possible to regulate that enjoyment. So therefore, they give different rules and regulations so you can access to the enjoyment in a dharmic way or in a religious way. In such a manner or such a way that the price you pay is just the dharmic price, but you don't have to suffer. For instance, in a person who has a psychology of a man, most probably will like ladies, and a lady will like man. So then, the tendency will be to have 10 women. A man will want to have like many. Like when I was a teenager, that was the standard of all my friends. You have not only one girlfriend. The more you have, the more respected you are. But then we know as scripture, they say no. For teenagers, they say brahmachari directly. And then if you want to enjoy, just get married. And engage that propensity in a very healthy way, to serving that other person that you want to express your affection, serving her or she serving him in different ways that scripture describe. And then you can have a very nice life through obtaining some enjoyment and at the same time becoming detached by the end of life, and awakening the desire to go back to Godhead. So for every ashram, there is some restrictions. Therefore, for example, for a grihastha to have only one lady or one man, to is a restriction, because the tendency will be to have many, especially in a kshatriya, for example. But now kshatriyas used to have many wives. But in Kali Yuga, by Prabhupada's mercy, we're advised to have only one, and women also only one husband. So that's a restriction for the psychology of a human being who is in the grihastha ashram. But for a brahmachari, for example, if he takes that responsibility, maybe completely will be a fall down, but also the, he may, if he take that, it will be considered like a feast. I mean, from the materialistic point of view, but for a grihastha, it's a restriction. So, because in what is good for one ashram is not good for another ashram. Or what is poison for one man is, it may be medicine for another man. So we need to know what are the responsibilities and restrictions of each ashram. Because in Kali Yuga there is not such knowledge. All the restrictions are meant by government or by Naradamas. Many rules are meant without any consideration of scriptures. Therefore, they have to make rules and regulate that propensity. Why? Because even a materialistic man has enough intelligence to understand that if a human being doesn't control his propensities for material enjoyment, they will suffer and others will suffer. And if you want to have an example connected with, in this case, it is explained in about sexual enjoyment, just look on the newspapers and you will see that there are many, many people every day that is arrested by child abuse, abusing a man, abusing his wife or another lady. There are many people who has been arrested by the government because of uncontrolled senses. So this restriction is not religious. It's not just only spiritual. It's not something that because you're religious you have to follow this. Everyone has to regulate his propensity to enjoy by different laws. So either you choose a spiritual law that will always more or less agree with a government law because it's our universal principles, or you may have to follow the rules of the government. And then you won't suffer, at least in the material point of view, but you won't awake your impetus for going back to Godhead, and your spiritual understanding will not be awakened by just following social rules, moral rules. But the principle of price and restriction regarding enjoyment is universal. It's not something that pertains to a religion in particular. We find it in every society. As soon as I enter in the market store in the front of our building, I have restrictions, new restrictions and new law. If I want to enjoy a mango there, I have to pay a price. I have to behave in a certain way. If I go to the subway, I enter in the subway, I have to behave in a certain way. I am restricted. I cannot eat in there, at least there are signs. I cannot hear music loudly. There are many rules that I have to abide. So all human beings are being restricted there by different laws, a spiritual law and also a scriptural law and government law. So that is unavoidable. However, the government many times creates rules that are wrong according to scripture standards. Therefore, abortion, for example, is allowed. I think it's allowed here in the US. So, yes? At least in some states. It's under certain consideration, I guess. But it's allowed. I mean, in many places, people go out and they complain that we should be allowed to abort because it's our body. It's my body. So they have different arguments. But scripture, they say no. And also they said, first of all, because it's not your body. Something that is yours, something that you can create. Like an invention is yours because you invented. So you didn't invent your body. You didn't create your body. So that pertains to someone else. That's, we know it's Krishna, the spiritual master. But they don't know. Another consideration, so government may hear, listen to people, and so this is democracy, so they need votes. So that more or less the rules have to go according to the times. So the psychology of people is changing, also rules have to change. So maybe 50 years ago was really bad things, very bad or lower moral to abort, but now it's in question that, and maybe in the future, as in the Bhagavatam is described, it will be a normal thing. The same way many other aspects of society has been gradually changed into degradation, they are accepted. But according to spiritual law, that doesn't change. There are universal principles of karma, the law of karma. So either the government put this rule, or even religious, they change. They say, like a Christian, they used to give, for example, they used to say, you can get emancipation by paying to the church. They have that rule in the Middle Age. So people will pay money, and they will indulgent. They will be forgiven by all their sinful activities, just by giving that. But that doesn't happen in the spiritual realm, so even if they pay, nothing will happen because this is a main rule. And then they change that later on. Here in the purport in Srimad Bhagavatam, Hridayananda Maharaj explained that how in Kali Yuga the institution of marriage degenerates and to the point that they are forgetting all the purpose of marriage life and misunderstanding the goal of family life, replacing that for enjoyment also. Therefore, they say that sex is natural. And the scripture agree with that. The sex is natural. Because we say that they understand that we have a natural propensity to, as a conditioned soul, to enjoy. But as Prabhupada is explaining in this purport, he said that abortion, here, human beings to become pregnant, although the tendency is to avoid having children. In this sinful age of Kali, people have even taken to the process of killing the child in the womb. So one argument that is given is that sex is natural. So here is very funny how Hridayananda Maharaj explained. He said, but if sex is natural, pregnancy and childbirth are equally natural. So the natural consequence of sex is pregnancy in this human species of life in planet Earth. Psychological studies confirm that a child needs to be cared for by both his father and his mother, and that it is obviously natural for sex to be accompanied by a permanent marriage arrangement. Hypocritical people justify unrestricted sex by saying it is natural, but to avoid the natural consequence of sex, pregnancies, they use contraceptives, which certainly do not grow on trees. It's very hilarious. So trying to avoid a natural consequence through an artificial method on the name of that something is natural. So many laws have to be created when you don't want to follow a principle. So because the scripture gives a principle of marriage and in a very specific way, they arrange the institution of marriage in such a way that you just have to follow one rule, just get married. But
When you don't want to follow a rule and make exception, you have to make hundreds and hundreds of rules. For example, if you want to allow abortion, you have to make another bunch of rules. When you can have abortion, and then if you use contraceptive, you have to do a lot of research and make the best ones, and then make rules who can use, who can give that, etc. In the same way, in spiritual life, we have so many rules. And when we try to avoid one rule, we have to make many other rules. Forgive me, a practical example. We say prasadam is at 1 o'clock, for example. But then if nobody comes at 1 o'clock, you have to make many other rules. Like you have to make, okay, you can take prasadam. You don't have to come 1 o'clock, but we make a rule that no more than you can have between, you can come 2 o'clock. But even if you can do that, you can come at 4 o'clock, but then you have to enter in the kitchen and take the prasadam, but be very careful that then bring the prasadam in and clean, for example, clean everything, and then you have to make a lot of other many rules, and then may have another problem, the cook will complain. No, they are coming and taking the prasadam out and in, or many things, so you have to make another rule and another rule, everything because we don't follow one rule. So that's the complication. So in Kali Yuga, we don't have to follow principle. We don't want to follow principle. Therefore, there have to be many, many rules. That's what the point I wanted to make. There is a responsibility behind every enjoyment we want in life. And that price or responsibility is meant to restrict that enjoyment in order to finally makes you understand that this is not the place for enjoyment, and this is a place for reinstating your or re-establishing your relationship with Krishna. So there will be many restriction in every ashram, so you can develop that lost relationship and reawaken it through the main process that is describing this age of Kali Yuga in the 12th canto. It's full of faults, and therefore, because it's Kalar Dosha and De Rajan, it's full of deeds, misbehavior, etc. So therefore, you have to make so many, many, many rules. If you want to practice another process, it will be very difficult to advance in spiritual life. Therefore, finally, by the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are given a very simple process, and that is. Following the principle of Smarta Vyasa Tatang Krishna, that always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna, and the best way to do that is Kalar Dosha Nidhe Rajan, Kalau Hyasti Mahaguna, that there is only one quality, good quality in Kali Yuga, that is the chanting of the holy name. And that's it. Finally, there are many ideas and process for spiritual realization and also for material enjoyment. But both of them are combined. Like even if you want to enjoy material life, or even akama kama sarvabha, even if you want to enjoy spiritual life, or if you want to practice spiritual life, doesn't matter what are your aspirations, the scripture Srimad Bhagavatam recommends to worship Krishna and chant the names of Krishna. It doesn't matter your desire, because otherwise no enjoyment will come, even if we try, because Kali Yuga, the price is very high to enjoy, and most of us will enjoy through Vikarma, because we don't know the scriptures, the very subtle laws of Karma Kanda, for example, to have a good enjoyment and going to heavenly planets to have 10,000 years of life like that. That's very difficult. Therefore, the scripture just give a shortcut don't spend many, many years in the material world, many lives. Just in one life in Kali Yuga, you can make it. At least that's the promise of the Acharyas. And if you cannot make it, we will help you, they say, the Acharyas. So like Srila Prabhupada told to Albert Gisbert, he asked him, what will happen with your disciples as Kali Yuga advance? Because Prabhupada was describing all the aspects of Kali Yuga, that people will eat each other, etc. Money will be what will determine what is educated man or not, like that. So Albert Gisbert asked Srila Prabhupada, what will happen with your disciple who may not become perfect in this life? And Prabhupada said, by the time Kali Yuga will advance to this point, all my disciples will be liberated. And then Albert Gisbert said, and what will happen to me and others? And say, I will eat you and you will eat me. Everyone will eat each other. At least you take this Krishna consciousness movement. So either you try to go to heavenly planets or not, Kali Yuga is advancing and finally everyone will be in this situation of not God conscious and suffering in the material world. Well, thank you very much. Is there any, Arakta Prabhu, I think he has a comment or a question.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Is there any institution of marriage in the spiritual world?
Oh, that's a nice question. Yeah, like it's explained in this verse that there is sex life in the spiritual world, but nobody cares for. And I don't have the information. I remember reading, but I can give the quote. And a purple Srila Prabhupada, that he explained that there is a family. It is a different conception than here. So we just can try to understand in this way that this world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So all the, for example, we have earth in this world. So there is also earth in the spiritual world. There is water here. There is also water in the spiritual world. But the water in the spiritual world doesn't have anything to do with this water. In the same way that, for example, a banana reflected in the water doesn't have anything to do with a real banana. When you eat, it's just a reflection. So in the same way, the elements in the spiritual world doesn't have anything to do with the elements in the material world. They are just a reflection. Like if you want to take a necklace, like there was a man who wanted to take a necklace from the water because he saw in the water there was a necklace. But any time he was trying to do it, it will disappear. Until one sage came and he said, I will help you. And he was trying to hide the necklace. And said, no, there is nothing here. I will help you. You're looking for something. No, nothing. Because he was thinking he will steal it. But the sage said, no, I know there is a necklace there and I want to help you. I'm not looking for money, anything. So he said, okay, help me. He said, okay, look up. No, but the necklace is down. Look up. The necklace is down. Look up. Look up there at the tree and the branches. And he looked and he saw the necklace there. So this is the necklace. The other is the reflection. So you take it from there. So in the same way, we have family and propensities here, psychological disposition, etc. So everything is in the spiritual world. But compare them is a mistake. We just can say that there is. Then we don't have any clue how is it. It's a chinta kala, it's inconceivable. But we can see that the model of a family is given by Krishna and Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. That's the best. Krishna will never come in a family where there is fighting or mistreating each other. He comes in a family like Nanda Maharaj and and Mother Yashoda. This is, and then Krishna can be there. So Krishna, we take from the spiritual world that everything has to be Krishna centered. So more or less we know that in the spiritual world, whatever is, if there is family, will be Krishna center. It won't be myself and my family, my son, like that. The Gopas, they have families in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the spiritual world also. And there is family, you know, Raktaprabhu? Do you know that? That in Vrindavan, in the Krishna book, pastime, it is described that they have parents, the Gopas. They have their own mother and father. So that's the spirit. It's of course in the earth, but it gives a glimpse. And Krishna became, and in the Brahma Vimohana Lila, he became all the cowherd boys. So their parents were loving their boys even more because he was Krishna. So the principle is that any family, wherever material world, spiritual world, ideally family will be Krishna center. So there is no egoism in the spiritual world. That we know for sure. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your class. I'm curious if, because there's a regulation on sexual activity, intercourse, and so what is the most fertile time for the woman for a child? Because if it's once a month and they're conceiving a child for Krishna, then what is the best time? Because I've been questioned before and I'm not sure.
You're asking what is the best time?
Yes.
For having children?
Yes.
We can ask after class. And I don't know. I know there are specific instructions, the scriptures, and I'm sure some grihasthas, they may know more than me. I only know that the pastime of Kasyapa Muni, the Srimad Bhagavatam, that if you don't do it in a proper time, you may have an Hiranyakashipu. I don't know, so there are a specific time. But yeah, I can look for that, and I have some files, and if I can send it to you. Thanks for asking. Can you repeat your question? Yeah. I don't know. I never heard that. Never heard that. Whatever, we have to understand that the spiritual body is a spiritual body. It's not like here. There is because this world, just to finish about this, if we can have a better understanding of, for example, sexual life in the spiritual world, everything here is a reflection. It's like a pyramid. It's inverted, so it's like this. This is the material world, and this is the spiritual world. So what is up in the spiritual world is down here. So in the spiritual world, real rasa or real sex life is up, is the highest. And in material world, it's the lowest. The more lusty you are, the lowest you are. The more lusty you are in the spiritual world for Krishna, the highest you are. So it's an opposite dimension. What is higher there is lower here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granta Rashuma Bhagavatam ki.